You know, if I understand my Bible correctly, God wants joy in the house. He wants his people to rejoice. Amen. And so he's the true joy giver. Amen. You can't manufacture the joy of the Lord. It has to be imparted by his Holy Spirit. Amen. How many know in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy? And as at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. How many know that the Lord is pleasurable? He's delightful. Amen. He's loving. He's lovable. You can't love a God who's not lovable. You can't love a God who's not loving. He first loved us, didn't he? He demonstrated his love for us on the cross. And he's not willing that anyone should perish. He wants all to be saved. I was once lost in sin till Jesus took me in. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. I'm not just an improvement on the old thing. God has done a real work in my heart. Hallelujah. And it's interesting how the Lord does that, and how people that used to know you before say, wow, what happened? What happened to you? Well, let me tell you what happened to me. I'm not the guy I used to be. I am a work in progress, however. But God is faithful to begin and to finish, amen, the work in us. Hallelujah. How many know that this world is just never going to really satisfy you? If you're pursuing contentment or happiness or joy in this world, you're losing out. It's a dead end. It's a dead end, I'll say again. You don't want to invest in a bank that is going bankrupt. Are you hearing me? You don't get on a ship that's going down. You want to get on the good ship, Jesus. Amen. We're going up. Hallelujah. I know what it's like to live in the pit of this world, seeking out pleasures and things that can only temporarily satisfy, but always left you empty in the end. God wants to be the one to fulfill that longing, that emptiness. He wants to replace that sorrow with his joy. Amen. God, you're so good. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the day you've given us, Lord, the grace you've shown us, that your mercies indeed are new every day. This is the day that you've made, Lord. Lord, I know without you, Lord, I'm nothing. And Lord, I can't do anything without you. Lord, I can't save anybody. I can't change anybody. Only you can do that. Holy Spirit, we invite you to have your way with us here. Move upon every heart today, Lord. Captivate our hearts and our minds, Lord, and draw us into you. Father, I ask you to speak to us today through your Holy Spirit and by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Getting ready. It's interesting, that word that came. We're getting ready for that day. The title of the message is Getting Ready for That Day. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. I wonder how many in the church really believe this. The Bible says we're to be prayerful and watchful, amen. We're to stay awake. Guys, you cannot be awake unless you're in communion with Jesus. Unless you worship him in spirit, you won't be awake. God doesn't just stimulate our flesh. He doesn't just impart information into our intellect so we can be prideful of what we know. But God wants to reveal himself. He wants to reveal his heart to us, who he really is. And you can't learn God in a classroom. God must be revealed to you, and he's revealed by his Spirit. And the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth and reality, authenticity. Amen. We're not here to play a game. Amen. We're here to celebrate life, and life is Jesus. Wherever the Lord is, there is life. Amen. There's a difference between hype and the authentic presence of God that produces authentic joy in your heart. I used to be a partier in the world, and nothing satisfying there I found until the blessed cross of Christ. One day I came where springs of living water did abound. And now I'm drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of, some of you know it, water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Isn't it good to get over yourself? Just be a kid in the court of the king. Amen. Celebrate life. God wants happy campers. And we're camping out, aren't we? We're pilgrims. We're passing through. What is your life but a vapor? So quickly. My wife and I were just talking yesterday again, saying, where is the time going? It seems like everything has been sped up. Did anybody beside us feel that way? I think we're getting close to the time when the Lord shall call his children home. Be ready to meet the Lord. You know, I don't want anybody to go to hell. And God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. How many know that hell was designed for the devil and his angels? Amen. But those who refuse the love of God, they will end up there. Those who refuse the salvation and the mercy of God will end up there. It's not what God wants. But we disqualify ourselves from salvation by refusing the only offer of salvation that is available, and that is through Jesus Christ. If you reject Jesus, you reject the only hope that you have of eternal life. We know God is the true judge, and he's going to judge righteously. As a pastor, sometimes I wonder how many who attend meetings are going to actually be in heaven. Yeah. How many have thought that before? I wonder if so-and-so is going to be in heaven. You ever thought that before about somebody? You're wondering if their soul is right with God. And how many know that we're not very good judges? All right. Now, we can inspect fruit and say, well, there's some indications here that this person is not right with God. And the Holy Spirit is the ultimate teacher. Amen. He's the one that can lead us into truth. Amen. And truth is what's real and authentic, what we may know. What is true, and then we're set free from every lie and every deception. So we may think that we're good judges of ourselves or others for that matter, but only God is able to judge righteously because his judgments are just and true. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, it says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Isaiah 9:7 says, but the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. Verse 8, he shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Of God. The Holy Spirit convicts us, doesn't he? How many appreciate the conviction of the Holy Spirit? If you love Jesus, you love truth, so you will love it, amen, when he's showing you something about yourself that needs to change or you need to repent of. Amen. Because you love Jesus, you love the Word of God. You love what is true. People of the truth love Jesus. We can't say we love Jesus and live a lie. But the Holy Spirit convicts us so that we're not going to be condemned with the world. 1 Timothy 5:24 says, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment. But those of some men follow later. In other words, some people's sins are just obvious. It's as if they were parading down the street, which is happening today, and someone with a trumpet is sounding off before them and revealing the fact that, hey, here's a sinner. And I'm actually in a place where, you know, I'm glorying in something that should be shameful. Now, God created us good in the beginning, didn't he? When he created everything, he says it is good. Even mankind was created good. But when we chose to rebel against God and sin against God, we fell from that grace that we stood in. Amen. From that right standing with God, we became spiritually disconnected. We became dead in our sin and trespasses. Amen. And that's why Jesus came to redeem us back. Amen. To restore us back to fellowship once again with the Father, to give us a new heart and to put his spirit within us that would cry out, Abba, Father. When you are a child of God and you're born again, you will actually become a worshiper. When the Spirit of God is within you, you will worship God in spirit. You need to make sure that the Spirit of God is in you. And one way we know that he is in us is because his spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are our little spirits, that we are the children of God. A change takes place when you're born again. Now the things that you used to enjoy, you hate. And the things that you used to hate, you love. You've got a new normal now. In some cases, again, people are literally, they're parading down the street and they're glorying in their shame. And so the Lord sees it all. The thing is this, is that we think we know people and we think we know people's hearts. But God is the ultimate judge and the ultimate examiner of the heart. Amen. And we all kind of express our love for God in a little different way. God didn't create us to be uniform, amen, but in unity, there's a difference. He likes diversity in the sense that we're all a little bit unique, amen, in our makeup. And that's okay. But what matters is that we all have the same heart for the same Father. And through the new birth, we become children of God, amen. God wants variety in his garden, amen. How many like a garden that's full of different colors and flowers, amen? If it's all just tulips, it can kind of get boring after a while. So God likes diversity. He created us a little unique and a little different. Amen. But the main thing is that we are brought together in harmony through the Holy Spirit who unites us with the Father in the Son. And we become one family. We become one fellowship in unity in the Holy Spirit. Unity is only possible in the Holy Spirit. Unity is never possible through political means alone. We're trying to get along. We're trying to have peace in the world. For thousands of years, man has tried to create peace and produce peace and be at peace. And there's times when we have seasons where we're at peace, but ultimately it seems to always fail somewhere along the line. Why? Because it's the heart of man that's desperately wicked. It's the heart that's corrupted through sin. That's why Jesus came. He came to change the heart. Amen. To give us a new heart. We become his own special people through the new birth. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 of verse 11, it says, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do what? Do evil. In verse 12, though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 4, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. That's the fear of man. But I will show you whom you shall fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Nothing. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable. Every person is accountable to God. Every person that's ever been born has an appointment with God. They have a date that is set where they will die. They will take their last breath and they will stand before the judge of all the earth. Will not be able to escape the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Now, I believe the judgment seat of Christ is going to be for those who have lived, amen, in Christ. All right. And there's going to be a reward ceremony or award ceremony. Amen. But some men's sins are obvious. They go before them. You know, it's clear. But then other men's sins are not known. In other words, some people are good at covering up. I can remember growing up, and anybody beside myself been a teenager. Growing up and trying to sneak some things. And trying to really work on my craft of being sneaky. And some things I got away with for a while. And because I thought, well, I got away with it, then I can keep getting away with it. And eventually nothing's going to happen to me because I've been getting away with it all this time. How many have ever felt that way? How many know the jails are filled with people who thought, I'm getting away with it? But eventually what you sow, you shall reap. If not in this world, in the world to come. Amen. That's why today is a day of salvation. Today is a day to get things settled with God, to get your heart right with your Maker. And Jesus went to the cross and he paid for all that sin. Amen. All those transgressions so that you and I could go free. So we could be set free from the power of sin and live for God in this new relationship. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that creates an awareness, you know, of the things that we do. You know, how many here are born again? You know you're born again. You're a believer. Amen. You've got Christ in you. How many know what it's like to do something and you knew that you did wrong? Because the Holy Spirit's there to poke you and say, stop it. Amen. How many know a wise person will learn from the mistakes of others? Amen. You look in this book right here and you can see all kinds of mistakes of people. Amen. Even great men that fell because of sin. Amen. And God has given us his word so that we can be wise and we can avoid falling into the same trap that others had fallen into. Many thought that they were getting away with it. David thought he was getting away with it until the day Nathan came and exposed him. It's only a matter of time, and what you do in secret will be proclaimed from the housetop. It will be known. As a matter of fact, God is removing the veil right now and exposing all kinds of things throughout this nation, amen, including the politicians, amen. All these things are being, the lid is coming off, and they're being exposed. Why? Because God is going to bring everything into judgment. And today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. I love being able to go to bed at night and lay my head down and sleep. Amen. I love to be able to look in the mirror and see a police car and not be paranoid. That goes back a few years. Almost cut my hair. Some of you remember that one? All right. Well, I did cut my hair. But Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin. And there's nothing about Jesus that made it impossible for people to believe him. You know what the condemnation was? That people chose not to believe Jesus. Because God gave us a choice. It's not that they didn't know. Jesus was very clear with people. As a matter of fact, even the things that were hidden, Jesus brought out. He began to deal with the heart of people. Because some thought because they do all these outward things that they're righteous. But Jesus went to the heart of the matter. And he says, oh, yeah, you say, well, under the law, you know, if you commit adultery, well, it's a transgression, right? And it was punishable by death. But he says, but I say to you, if you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. He began to expose the things, the hidden things, the secret things of men's hearts. And that's why some people love Jesus and some people hated Jesus. Why did they hate Jesus? Because he spoke the truth to them. And why did he speak the truth to them? Because he loved them that much that he didn't want them to perish, but he wanted them to come to a place where they were willing to acknowledge that they were sinful, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that they would come to the only one who could save them, forgive them, give them a brand new heart and a brand new beginning, hallelujah, and the sins of the past to be never held against them again. That's why Jesus came. He loved us that much. That he was willing to pay the price that we deserve to pay. Many people think they're good, and the views that they hold are true. You can ask a crowd of people, how many here consider yourself to be a good person? Probably most hands will go up. But how many know we're not justified by ourselves? Because we can justify ourselves maybe by comparing ourselves to somebody else. Well, God, at least I'm not like Joe over there. He's a real bad sinner. Surely he should perish, you know, but not me. Well, Jesus, again, it was good at exposing the hidden secrets of the heart. Amen. And, you know, a spirit-filled believer, amen, God can use to speak through, amen, to touch even some of the secrets in your heart. So for what reason? Just to make you miserable? No. But so that you will realize that you're a sinner and you need to come to the Savior, amen, and to resolve these things because he's already paid the price for those sins. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul said. He was careful not to trust in his own evaluation of himself. Again, a lot of people think they're righteous, but we're not righteous because we say we're righteous. You're not justified by the grace you give yourself. It's the grace of God that saves you. He says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Now, in the book of Joshua, this is previous to the fall of Jericho, God had warned Israel not to take of the accursed things when they enter into the city. Remember that? Joshua chapter 6. These were items that were to be dedicated to the Lord, and the people were not to take them or possess them. And so in Joshua 6:18, he said, and you by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. In other words, what you do personally will affect the camp. How many know an individual sin affects more than just the individual? So God told Israel that there were certain things that were marked for destruction. All right. But other such things, such as gold and silver, vessels of bronze and iron, were to be brought into the treasury. And we see that in verse 19. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. In verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1, it says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Jabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children, plural, of Israel. Now Achan decided, see, a little compromise wouldn't hurt anybody. Nobody would see, and nobody would know. So he took a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, and he hid them in the midst of his tent. How many know that God knows what's in the midst of your tent? He knows what's in the house. Amen? And so as a result of this one man's sin, all right, his secret sin, 36 men lost their lives in battle. And Joshua and Israel were just blown away. They had no clue why they suffered such loss. Because up to that point, things were going very well for them. One compromise. 36 people lost their lives. In chapter 7, verse 6, Joshua tore his clothes, and he fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And the Lord spoke to Joshua and said in verse 11, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. Now, why would the entire camp of Israel suffer for one man's sin? Because the camp of Israel is likened to the body of Christ. And every part is connected and interdependent. How many know that my actions can actually have a defiling effect on others? I'm not saying that God will hold me accountable or somebody else accountable for my sin. But I am saying that you can be a bad influence. You are being an example to somebody. Amen? And God takes note of that. Why? Because we are to represent His character, His nature, His holiness. We are to be a holy people because we represent Him to the world. And I am accountable for my brother, amen, and my sister. My actions can influence people, amen, either for good or for bad. So there's no secrets with God. Achan's sin had affected the entire camp. And of course, then it had to be exposed and eliminated. What happened was they became weak as a result of compromise. They became fearful, and destruction came upon Israel. Once again, what is done in private has a public effect. We see that in our political arena, don't we? A lot of things done in secret that are influencing the entire nation outwardly. The cure, well, they would have to get rid of the accursed thing in order to have the blessing and favor of God once again. They had to deal with the sin, in other words. Hidden sin, talking about hidden sin now, is like a cancer to your soul. It must be discovered and it must be dealt with harshly. I'm going to say it again. It must be discovered and must be dealt with harshly. No compromise with the devil. Amen? God hates sin, and therefore we hate sin. We don't give ourselves to it. Why? Because we don't have to. Because we've been broke. We've been set free from the power of sin through the blood of Jesus. So it's a choice of who you will yield yourself to. In Galatians 5:9, it says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, if a person refuses to deal with their sin, then God will eventually deal with them. God will deal with you. My authority today is not my opinion, but the Word of God. We stand on the Word of God. If you're wise, you'll listen to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Verse 17 says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. He was warning against infiltrators and those who would come in among the flock and cause defilement, even through false teaching, heresies. But also people's example, the way they live their life, will influence. As a little leaven is likened to a little sin, amen? A little leaven is leaven, it's yeast, right? And a piece of dough, right? And eventually it will puff up, amen? It will spread. And so God wants His church to be holy because we represent Him. And so I'm responsible for what I do with this vessel. This body is now the property of Jesus. Amen. So I am responsible for what I do. God gives me the choice. I can do whatever I want with my life, with my body. But know this, that everything will come to judgment. There are no secrets. Everything is open. It's naked. It's exposed to the one to whom we will give an account. Well, think about this today. There are many things that people allow in their lives and in their homes. Some things are okay because in themselves they're not sinful. There's a thing called grace, amen, and there's also a thing called conscience, that God gives us a conscience. Amen, but we also have to understand that there are certain things that God absolutely forbids for believers to indulge in, and that has had anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, anything to do with the occult, anything to do with witchcraft, anything to do with sorcery, anything to do with tarot cards or Ouija boards or fortune telling or all the stuff that now, if you go into Barnes and Nobles, the shelves are filled with nothing but occult stuff and mostly targeting the young people today. Because the devil knows that if he can get them interested in these things, he can draw them away and destroy them. You see, the devil will allow you to get away with things for a season. And all the while you're thinking you're getting away with it and nothing bad is coming to me. As a matter of fact, it seems like things are going better now. Well, just wait a little while because eventually payday will come. God means what he says. He wants to protect us because he loves us. He knows there is a real devil that wants to destroy. But Jesus wants to impart his life to us. Amen? And a full life. The whole nation of Israel went down in defeat due to one man's compromise. You know, we are God's people. We are God's dwelling place. We are his temple. We are the body of Christ. And as such, we are to be pure. Amen. We are to be holy. God wants to give us his favor and his blessing. Amen. If you want God's strength, if you want his protection, if you want his favor, then listen to his word. Obey his voice. As the body of Christ, we must respect, we must honor the body of Christ, amen. And so I keep myself, not just for me, but first of all for Jesus, amen. Because I don't want to grieve the one I love. I don't want to disappoint him. I want to honor my Father. I want my Father to look down and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. And I want my life to matter. I want to be a good influence on people. I don't want to cause my brother or my sister to stumble because of my compromise. Guys, a lot of the reason why America is where it's at today is because of compromise in the church. Where's the salt? Where's the light? Where's the influence? Where's the difference? Guys, if there's anything that God is speaking to you about this morning, I'm not your judge, but the Lord is. Deal with it while you can. Jesus said this way, Matthew 5:29, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. There is a real hell. And the Lord does not want anybody to go there. Jesus spoke a parable about how it would be in the last days. In Matthew 13:47, he said again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew in shore and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Matthew 13:47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was what? Cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. What is the dragnet? The dragnet is the message of the gospel. Those who are gathered in the gospel dragnet are going to be of every kind. Every nation of the world, Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, bond and free, good and bad, all sorts of sinners, amen, some who are truly Christ, are going to be gathered into this net. There's also going to be hypocrites in this net. A hypocrite is one who professes Christ. They're an actor, but they deny the Lord in works. They have only a form of godliness and yet are unrepentant, unregenerate, and unfruitful. A tree is known by its fruit. In Matthew 13:48, which when it, the dragnet, was full, they drew to shore and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. Which when it was full means when the last net is cast out. There's going to be a casting of the net for one final time. Amen. The last batch is pulled in. The last sermon is preached. The last altar call will be given. When the fullness of the Gentiles has come to an end and the harvest is over. Guys, the time of the harvest is coming to a close. The day of salvation is now. The end of all things is here. It's near. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. Have a relationship with the Lord. Make sure you have a relationship with Jesus. Have oil in your lamp. Amen. The angels will come forth. They're going to separate the wicked from among the just. And they're going to cast him into the furnace of fire. In Psalms 1:6, it says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalms 24:3 says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Guys, listen. No one here can purify their own heart. Only Jesus can do that. That's why his blood was shed, so we could have a pure heart. Who's going to be able to ascend the mountain? Who is going to be in heaven? Who will be with the Lord? Those whose sins are forgiven. Those who have received the Spirit of the Lord are the children of God through the new birth. That's why Jesus said you must be born again in order to see the kingdom. He says he has not lifted his soul up to an idol nor sworn deceitful. Verse 5, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Are you ready to meet the Lord? God knows what's in your tent. He sees in secret. And he will bring every work into the light. Today is the day to get things settled with God. To get your heart right with God. To know, amen, that, hallelujah, God has forgiven me. What does forgiveness mean? It means that he has canceled the debt. He will no longer hold those things against you. If you will come in the appointed time of God, which is now, today, in this time, this dispensation of time, God is being gracious and merciful and giving people an opportunity to come to Jesus to be saved. Amen? But if you refuse the love of God, then you will be condemned. Why? Because you're already condemned. Because when we were born in sin. And the only way to be reconciled to God, to be made right with God, is to come to Jesus Christ. To come as a sinner, with full recognition that I'm sinful and I can't save myself, but know that he alone can save you. He alone can give you a new heart. He alone can give you a pure heart. Do you want a pure heart today? Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads? God wants to purify you. God wants to blot out. That means he wants to remove completely every sin you've ever committed. God went to the cross through Jesus Christ, amen, on your behalf so that you don't have to go to hell. Jesus suffered hell for you so you could be set free and so that you could be made right with him, so that he could share his kingdom with you. God wants to share his kingdom with you. He wants you to become a son. He wants you to become a daughter. He wants you to be made right with him. Jesus made that possible for you. Jesus suffered on that cross for you. What are you going to do about that? Are you going to ignore that? Are you going to disregard that? Or are you going to say, Lord, thank you for what you did? You must be born again. You must give your life to Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can save. For there is salvation in none other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Today, if you will call upon the Lord, if you will humble yourself, God will forgive you. God will cleanse you. And God will give you his Holy Spirit. Do you want Jesus today? Do you want to receive Jesus today? If you're here today and you're not sure about your salvation and you want to receive Jesus today, I want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody here, you're not sure about your salvation. If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? If it's not right between you and your Maker, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you today. Anybody here? Amen. Okay, see that? Hallelujah. The Bible says, do not harden your heart. If you can still hear the voice of God, if you can feel him knocking right now, sense the Lord knocking on your heart, do not harden your hearts. Because the day will come when the door of opportunity will be sealed. It will be closed. God is calling you today. Will you come to Jesus and surrender your life to him? Anybody else need prayer today? Slip up your hand. You need prayer. You're not right about with God. You're not sure about your salvation. You'd like me to pray for you. Just slip your hand up. I'd like to do this. Let's ask everybody to, if you'd stand to your feet. Hallelujah. I want to lead us all in a prayer. If you mean business with God today, I want you to pray this, but pray it from your own heart. And pray it out loud, and you're talking to the Lord Jesus right now, the only one who can save you. Just repeat after me, say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I need salvation. So I come to you because I believe only you can save me. So Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for all my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and be my Savior and be my Lord. And restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. I welcome you, Lord. And I confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You need to tell somebody you prayed that today for the first time. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.